The attempted coup in Turkey didn't last long. It started Friday night. By Saturday morning, it was pretty much done. But for a few hours at least, it looked like it was possible that the coup plotters could come out on top. That's according to Karim Shaheen, who reports from Ankara for The Guardian.
They actually came really close to succeeding. There were some very crucial moments when it looked like it could go either way. And that was certainly the belief among the government officials who were in crisis cabinet meetings and were watching the situation unfold. I give an example at the beginning of the piece of a cabinet meeting with nine of the senior ministers who were gathered at the prime ministry office in Ankara. They were sitting there and watching state TV fall under the military's control. They didn't know if the issue was within the chain of command, whether this was endorsed by the leadership of the army or not. They had been trying for an hour before declaring it a coup to get in touch with the military chief of staff, General Hulusi Akar, and they weren't able to reach him. So they didn't know who was actually endorsing it and who to trust. And before the president spoke on FaceTime, it looked like they may well die. And that's what one of the ministers says, is that, you know, we're all going to die today. So just be prepared and don't worry about the future. Mm. And he sends for his personal weapon.
Is there one moment that shows just how close the rebels were to taking control?
Well, I think the key issue was, you know, their attempt to detain the president. The president was at a resort in a place called Marmaris, and he had left the hotel where he was staying just 20 minutes before the coup plotters arrived at the hotel and attacked it. And his plane took off from an airstrip not far away from Marmaris and was in the air when two F-16 fighter jets were quite close and were harassing the plane. And they asked it to identify itself, and the pilot told them that it was a Turkish Airlines flight, and so they didn't shoot it down. So that maybe was the closest moment at which the coup came to succeeding.
Is it certain the coup makers would have succeeded if only they had killed President Erdogan, or were there more pieces of the puzzle that they still needed to line up to be successful?
There are definitely more pieces of the puzzle, but it would have been a terrible decisive blow to the government if something had happened to the president, if he'd been detained or assassinated. The two key elements that prevented the coup from succeeding was the ability of the president to actually go on national television and call on people to come out to the streets. It was really a combination of the people's willingness to go out into the streets and not be intimidated by the military and the president, you know, intervening decisively at that moment.
President Erdogan appearing on FaceTime, that was a really weird moment, just in terms of power and control. I mean, he must have been taking a huge risk appearing through two looking glasses, the FaceTime app through a TV screen. It doesn't exactly project, I'm here, I'm in charge.
Yeah, and there's a very amusing moment during the cabinet meeting when they see him on FaceTime, and, you know, one of the ministers is like, what is this FaceTime thing, and why don't I have it? So it was a very strange, very odd response to the coup attempt. I guess it's a sign of the times. I mean, critics of the president have accused him of clamping down on social media and, you know, on Twitter and such. And so it was quite ironic to see him using these mediums to call on the people to actually take to the streets and resist an attempt to overthrow him.
Who were you able to speak to from the Erdogan government in the days since the coup? And, like, what were they thinking and saying as the coup was unfolding? Like, what did they think when, you know, President Erdogan appears on FaceTime via TV?
So there are multiple officials that I spoke to for this particular story. One of the key guys is Jamaluddin Hashemi, who's mentioned in the story as a senior advisor to Prime Minister Ben Ali Yildirim. And he was actually present in those cabinet meetings. And, you know, he was describing to me once the tanks come out into the streets, he had gone out to survey what was going on in Ankara and came back to the prime ministry, went straight to the undersecretary and asked him, you know, is this real? And the undersecretary, who had been trying to reach the chief of staff for the last hour, says, yes, it is real, but we don't know if it's within the military's chain of command or if it's outside the military's chain of command.
Yeah, so bottom line here, Karim, Turks are glad the coup didn't succeed, but how satisfied and how certain are Turks that this open wound after the attempted coup is going to heal?
Yeah, it's a huge dilemma. I mean, as you said, a lot of people are happy that the coup failed, but a lot of people are not happy that Erdogan is in power, and they're not happy about what they expect will be a concerted campaign to quash the Gulenists and to defeat them systematically and comprehensively. And, you know, the officials I've spoken to have said that absolutely we're going to go, you know, as far as required to cleanse the bureaucracy of Gulenist influence. So it's going to be a long campaign, and it's definitely going to raise questions about Turkey's commitment to freedoms, Turkey's commitment to democratic values. But from their perspective, from the government's perspective, they've just been proven right about what they've been warning about, you know, for the last two, 3 years, that there's an attempt to overthrow the state that's unfolding and that they need to combat it.
Reporter Karim Shaheen with The Guardian joining us from Ankara, the Turkish capital. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.